And we're tracking the aftermath of several huge explosions. One was in Baghdad today. A truck bomb killed more than 4 dozen people in a busy market. ISIS has claimed responsibility.
The other explosions happened in China yesterday in a warehouse in the port city of Shenzhen. Hundreds were injured. Dozens died. NPR's Frank Langfitt is in Shenzhen. And Frank, a witness said it looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off. Can you describe what it looks like there now?
Well, I think people have been seeing some of these images that have been coming out on the Chinese internet, and the pictures are extraordinary. Of course, there was this giant mushroom cloud, and it was a huge explosion. And if you look around the area, basically it looks like there was an airstrike. It doesn't look like a small bomb or anything like that. It looks more, frankly, like some of the pictures that we see out of Syria. Mm. There are thousands of cars that were at this port that were incinerated. There's at least one five-story building that's completely gutted. And the blast range looks between a radius of 1 to 2 miles.
Do we have any idea what kind of hazardous material was stored in the warehouse?
Well, the New China News Service, that's the Chinese government's official news service, just came out recently and said that there were a lot of flammable chemicals at this shipping company, and that some of them included elements that would be used in gunpowder. That possibly, I'm not a chemistry major, but that may help explain the incredible force and power of this blast. But they're still investigating. A lot of people around here also, and I was given this by police today, a lot of people are wearing masks because there's a feeling that a lot of toxic chemicals, police are very concerned, there are a lot of toxic chemicals in the air. And so people are now still walking around in this area several kilometers back from the blast sites wearing masks to protect their health.
But it does seem a little surprising that we don't have more information about what was there now, 24 hours after the event. Are the officials being forthcoming with you about what they know?
No, Jeremy, this is pretty much the playbook. The Communist Party, particularly under this regime, is very, very careful in how it manages these kinds of stories when there are these disasters. And they give very little information, and it can be very frustrating to family members of victims and people like that. So, no, this is pretty typical. It's been 24 hours, and we haven't really gotten a lot of information. Not that long ago, I went down into Hubei province when that passenger ship, you remember, capsized and more than 400 people died. And there was very little information, and there's a lot of censorship on the internet when people try to even investigate it themselves and begin to connect the dots. I think the Communist Party feels that when they have these disasters, it wants to control the narrative and wants to be seen as really helping people and helping the victims and not focusing so much on culpability and what went wrong.
And when we talk about the victims, we're hearing reports of local hospitals there just being overwhelmed by them, hundreds injured.
Indeed, many hundreds were injured, and what happened was it was about 11:30 at night. Many people were in bed, and there was this huge blast, and a lot of people, I'm not sure exactly the nature of all the injuries, but some people we talked to had broken bones. A lot of people were cut by glass. Many, many windows were blown out. In fact, some people we talked to said that afterwards, they were running down the street, it was like it was raining glass. Mm. I mean, that's how powerful that this explosion was, that it basically created a rainstorm of broken glass.
Do we know anything about the safety record of this plant?
We don't. There hasn't been anything out there. I did talk to a couple of truck drivers today. One of them had actually been in and out of the plant. And he said they generally thought to have a good safety record. But people are also very careful about what they're saying right now. They're very aware that this is a big disaster, one that doesn't have an easy explanation. And the government hasn't really released any of this. And the Chinese press, generally, when these things happen, are put on a pretty tight leash. The government doesn't say, oh, yes, go investigate. So we're not seeing much yet about exactly the kinds of chemicals it had and if it had any problems in the past.
Well, of course, this comes as China has been in the news already this week because they've been devaluing their currency, the weakness in the economy generally in China. Do the two stories fit together at all? Is the government especially worried about putting out the wrong information here because of how weak the economy is?
No, I think it's more that they're very cautious about the narrative. Their challenge, I think, Jeremy, is they have an increasingly sophisticated public that has higher expectations. It's very different than, say, 15, 20 years ago. And so they feel it's very important to control information, and they're concerned about losing that narrative. And 2 or 3 years ago, honestly, they were. The Internet was much more freewheeling. There was lots of criticism. Lots of information was coming out. And the government has really cracked down on that. I don't think this is related so much to necessarily, you know, the value of the currency or the slowing economy. It may have some connection to that. But it's as much as anything, I think that the Communist Party leadership realized they weren't as in control of the way people were thinking. And there's been this very, very conscious decision to censor a lot and really, really control the information that they put out there.
That's NPR's Frank Langfitt joining us from Shenzhen in China, the site of those huge explosions yesterday. Frank, thank you.
You're very welcome, Jeremy.